This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome to Queries, Qualms, and Quirks, the bi-weekly podcast that asks published authors to share their successful query letter and discuss their journey from first spark to day of publication. I am your host, author Sarah Nicholas, and literary agent Sarah N. Fisk. Janelle Harper is a Bronx native who enjoys storytelling through dance and ballpoint pens. She finds inspiration for children's stories and city living and the diverse experiences of the African diaspora. Janelle is passionate about creating stories that reflect the faces she sees in her classroom and neighborhood. So please welcome Janelle to the show. Hello.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi. Good. We are going to talk about your journey to publication, and we are going to start by going kind of all the way back to the beginning. So when did you first start getting interested in writing, and then how long did it take before you started getting serious about pursuing publication?
So I've always had a love for reading and writing since I was a child. You know, as you grow up and life happens, you kind of forget about certain passions. In 2020, during the pandemic, when the world shut down and like everyone trying to figure out what the new normal is and what am I doing, it really gave me a time to reflect. And I was busy scrolling like everyone else on social media. And for some reason, this ad kept popping up. And I had no idea why, because my algorithm, I'm like, why is this Storyteller Academy ad popping up nonstop? And finally, I just clicked on it and they had a free trial week where you could take all these classes for free and then decide if you wanted a membership. And so I was like, well, I have nothing else to do. And this seems pretty interesting. And I took the free week and I fell in love with writing picture books. And so from there, that was May 2020, I just did a serious deep dive. Like every class I could take at the time, all the conferences were virtual. I joined SCBWI. I joined Storyteller Academy. I took classes with Children's Book Academy. So I really just did a deep dive so I could better understand the craft of writing picture books.
All right, cool. So once you got the craft down, how did you learn more about the industry stuff, like how to query, how it works, how all that happens?
So a lot of it was a lot of the industry. I was just having a conversation with my friend. I said, sometimes publishing feels like a vague abyss and you're just like, how do I do this? But the biggest help was Twitter, or X as is now known, but Twitter had such a huge writing community, and just connecting with other writers and authors at different stages of their career and their journey, I really learned a lot about the publishing industry that way.
Nice. So then what happened? Can you break down for us your journey from then to signing your first book contract?
After deep diving into the craft, because I really felt like, oh, I'm kind of late. Other people have been writing for so long, you go through the imposter syndrome. And so to kind of offset that, I was like, I'm going to take every class. I'm going to go to every conference and learn as much as I can. But then it was, I realized, okay, I've done a lot of these classes and courses, and now it's kind of time to put myself out there and see if I'm actually kind of good or not. And so Twitter had a lot of pitch events. They had a lot of different writing events. And I remember the first writing event I entered was Fall Writing Frenzy. And I actually was selected as a winner. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not too bad. And so it kind of gave me the boost of confidence. And then the next leap was to go into the query trenches, as it's called. And so I started querying November of 2020. So I deep dived into the craft in May 2020, and then I waited till fall 2020, and I still was like, I don't know, maybe this is still too soon. But I was like, let's just see what happens. And so I sent out my first round of queries. And a few days later, I had heard back from an agent requesting to see more manuscripts. And that agent ended up being like my first rejection, but it was a champagne rejection. And so it was bittersweet, but I was like, oh, this is a personalized rejection. And I hear you only get like form rejection. So maybe I'm not, you know, too bad. Let me just keep going. And so, you know, I kept going through a couple of rounds. I think overall, I queried 29 agents. And then I found out about this contest, PB Party contest on Twitter. And so another thing, I was just like, let me put myself out there. There's hundreds of people who entered last time. And I was like, oh, I'm just doing it just to do it for experience. And so with PB Party, you submit like the first 60 to 70 words of a manuscript, and you do like a sample generic query letter. And so I did it, and I saw Mindy, who hosted, she was given this stat, like, oh, we had close to 1,000 people, or I think it might have been over 1,000 people. And I was like, oh, forget about it. Like, okay, it was fun. But then I was selected as a finalist, and I was like, you know, wow. But still didn't think anything of it. I was like, there's a lot of, you know, great authors and illustrators. But when they opened it up for editors and agents to look at the entries, I started to get a lot of interest. I think I ended up having like 11 agents interested and 7 editors interested. So my entry ended up being the one that had the most interest. And so from there, got a couple of agent offers, I think a total of 5. It was a whirlwind because, you know, you have to contact agents who you've already queried to let them know you have some offers. And then just within those 2 weeks, meeting with the agents who, you know, gave your offer. And also something that was important for me was to also speak to clients and hear their experience. So everyone's like, oh, this is amazing. And I was like, I'm stressed. I don't think you understand, you know, what it feels like. I mean, I was excited, but it definitely, you felt a lot of stress and pressure and anxiety also to a degree, because I didn't want to, you know, make the wrong choice. For so long, I heard people say, you know, no agent's better than, you know, the wrong agent. And so I was really like, okay, I really want to make the best choice. And so I ended up choosing Lindsay Owl of a writer's house. I spoke to Lindsay twice, and I just knew, and I always tell people, like, my advice is to go with your instinct. I just knew, just her demeanor, her encouragement, her vision for like my career, you know, that was important to have a vision besides this just one manuscript. And she really believes in me. Funny enough, I submitted the full manuscript. So for PB Party, you just give them a little sample, the 70 sample, and then you submit the rest. And so I submitted the rest, and she gave me an offer on just that one manuscript. And of course, the imposter syndrome kicked in. I was like, well, don't you need to see other stuff? But she was like, if you wrote this, I know you could write. And I was like, well, I'm going to send you some other stuff. I want to make sure that you actually like my writing. And then I did. And she was like, see, I told you, you didn't have to send me anything else. I knew you could write based on this one thing. She was like, but I love it. And so accepted Lindsay's offer. And she let me know. She was like, I never, you know, say this to anyone. She was like, but you're ready to go in submission like this. We don't need to do anything to this manuscript. And I was like, are you sure? She was like, no, trust me. And so after I signed, you know, the contract with Writer's House, literally that week, Lindsay and I went over the submission list. And so we looked at the editors who was interested from the contest. And then she also had her ideas of editors who would be a good fit. And we went on submission. And within 24 hours, we had an offer. Mm. And so everything was moving super, super fast. because, you know, from other writing friends, it was, I just felt like, oh, I'll just, you know, be on sub for a couple of months. I know how it goes. And so when Lindsay was like, pick up your phone. So it was like, okay, we have an offer. And then Lindsay was like, I think, you know, we should wait. I think this is going to go to auction, mm-hmm. which was scary also to see an offer and go, you know, I'm going to, you know, we'll see how things go. But we did. And we ended up having a 7-house auction.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and that was also, you know, a little anxiety as well, because that process, you speak with the different editors and see what their vision is, their ideas for illustrators, what revisions before we had to make a decision.
Wow. All right. And then you had to wait like 2 years for the book to come out.
Yes. And so originally the book was supposed to come out in 2023, but unfortunately Frank had his brother had passed during the process. And so, you know, he asked, of course, for some time, which we said, of course, you know, take all the time you need. And so we ended up pushing back the pub date to January 2nd of 2024. But yeah.
That was both my sister and my niece's birthday.
Oh, that's a good date.
All right. It is time for the first cue of the podcast. Can you read your successful query letter for us?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes. So I'm going to read the generic query letter that I used for PB Party that I sent out to interested agents. So, dear agent name, your manuscript wish list states that you are looking for stories that reflect the diverse world we inhabit. My manuscript may interest you. My block looks like is our 404-word picture book for ages 4 through 8. My block looks like is a lyrical love letter to the Bronx that highlights the hidden gems that go unseen within the New York City neighborhood. Bodegas, pickup games, subways, and hip hop are Bronx staples that are showcased through verse. My block looks like will appeal to fans of If Dominican Were a Color and I'm Every Good Thing. I am a Bronx native who teaches in New York City public schools. I have taught dance to diverse populations and learners for 14 years. I am a member of Black Creators HQ, Storyteller Academy, and SCBWI. I was selected as a winner of the 2020 Fall Writing Frenzy Contest and the 389 Literary Project. I also received a full scholarship with the Children's Book Academy. Please note this is a simultaneous submission. I also have other picture book manuscripts should you be interested. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for your time and consideration. Sincerely, Janelle Harper.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. So how do you feel like your experience has been since signing that contract? Especially let us know if there was anything about the process that surprised you along the way.
So what surprised me about the process, even though you get warned about it, is just the time it takes. Yeah. And I'm impatient and I'm very type A and goal oriented. So like once I have my mindset and I have a plan, I'm like, okay, let's do this. And a lot of it is waiting and a lot of it is just out of your hand. So once you go through, you know, the final revisions and edits with your editor, that's it. It's then, you know, given to the illustrator. And of course, with picture books, you know, it's a lot of visual storytelling. And so that takes time to do. And so you're just kind of like waiting, like, you know, what do I do next? And so just being patient and saying, okay, let me work on the next story. For me, a part of my book deal, it was a 2-book deal. So then it was like, at least I had the second book that I can focus on working on revising and editing. So that was good. That kept me busy. But it was just a slow, slow process. And so that's what surprised me the most.
Yeah. All right. It is time for the quick round. I call it author DNA. Are you a pantser or a plotter?
Pantser.
Do you tend to be an overwriter or an underwriter?
Overwriter.
Do you prefer to write in the morning or at night?
Morning.
When starting a new project, do you typically start with a character or a concept or a plot or something else first?
A concept.
Do you prefer coffee or tea?
Tea.
When writing, do you prefer silence or some kind of sound?
Silence.
When it comes to the first draft, are you more of a get it down kind of person or a get it right kind of person?
Oh, get it right. That's my stumbling block.
What tools or software do you use to draft?
For picture books, Google Docs. For longer text, like middle grade, Scrivener.
Do you prefer drafting or revising more?
I prefer both at the same time.
Do you write in sequential order or do you hop around?
Sequential.
And final quick round question, are you an extrovert or an introvert?
I say introvert. Everyone else says extrovert.
All right. So now it's time for the second cue of the podcast. What were some of the qualms or worries that you had on your journey? And do you feel like they were realized or you overcame them or how did they shake out?
Some of, I guess, the worries or qualms I had is just the lack of transparency in publishing. Just there's so many questions you have. And then sometimes a lot of it is also you don't know what you don't know until it comes up. And so just being connected with people in all stages was very helpful to help with that, because you just really, sometimes your imposter syndrome is heightened because you just don't know the answers. And then you find out certain things no one really knows. I had friends who had, you know, already had book deals and they were like, I can't tell you what happens at acquisitions. No one knows. And I'm like, oh, okay then, no worries.
All right. And it's time for the third cue. Do you have any writing quirks? Is there anything about your writing process that you think is kind of different or interesting or unique?
I think one of my biggest writing quirks is that I draft and revise at the same time, which can be problematic for longer texts like middle grade. For picture books, it works well for me, but I'm currently working on a middle grade novel and I am moving slowly through it because I just can't go on to the next section or thing until I feel like this one section is perfect.
When you are in the lowest parts of your journey, whatever that may have been for you, what kept you going and why did you stick to it?
I think what kept me going is just remembering the why, my passion for writing, my passion for children, wanting children to see themselves in the books, wanting to represent my neighborhood. And what kept me going is really the community of writing friends that I had, just having those shoulders to lean on, those people to vent to, those people that are your accountability partners, those people who are your cheerleaders.
Do you feel like you made any mistakes along the way that you'd like to share with listeners so hopefully they can avoid the same ones?
I don't know about mistake per se, but I think my biggest lesson is just being patient and just also finding out what works best for you. So when you first start writing, you're going to hear a ton of things. You have to write every day. And then you try those things and you're like, this is not working for me. I know I'm not a person who can just write every day. I'm definitely a moody writer. Like, I have to be in the mood. I have to have inspiration. And then I had friends who were like, every day at 5 o'clock, I'm in the writer's club. And I'm like, 5 o'clock, my brain is not functioning.
Yeah.
I don't know. So a lot of it, I think one of the biggest lessons I had to learn is just finding out what works for you, because everyone has a different journey and path and creative process.
Yeah. Well, relatedly, can you share with listeners one of the most important lessons that you learned on your journey to publication?
I think finding out what my process is was important, and also learning patience was a big one. The New Yorker in me is like, go, 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 go. And so just really slowing down and enjoying the moment and not worrying about the next things on the checklist was big lessons for me.
All right. I call this the acknowledgments portion of the podcast. This is not a business that most of us succeed in completely on our own. So who are some of the people who helped you along the way and how?
I would not be where I'm currently at without Black Creators HQ. It's a group of Black creators, authors, and illustrators. And I, from that group, just really developed some lifelong friendships and support systems. Within that group also, we support each other by having different webinars and classes so that that veil of transparency hopefully is dropped and we can, you know, help each other out. We attend each other's events. We're accountability partners. I really don't think I would be where I'm at right now without Black Creators HQ.
Yes. All right. So we heard all about My Block Looks Like, but what else can we expect from you in the future?
So there is another unannounced book. So I can't say too much about it, but the second book hopefully will be out fall 2025. Mm. So I have that. And then I'm going to say now that I'm working on a middle grade novel in verse, I'm going to say it out loud so that I have the accountability of finishing. So that's the next book that I'm trying to complete.
Awesome. All right. So the listeners can like bug you every couple months on Twitter being like, when is that middle grade going to be done?
Absolutely. Please do. Please do.
Awesome. Well, Janelle, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your story with everyone.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Queries, Qualms, and Quirks. You can find the text of Janelle's query in the show notes, along with links to find out more about her and her books. If you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate if you'd help me find new listeners by leaving a review, telling your friends, or sharing this episode on social media. If you're interested in supporting the show, go to patreon.com/Sarah Nicholas. That's Sarah with an H and Nicholas with no H. And if you're a published author interested in being a guest on the show, please click on the home base link in the description or go to sarahnicholas.com and click on the podcast logo in the sidebar. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.